Yeah, Brother Ziegler called 4 o'clock, and that's plenty of time. That way you don't have to worry about it. Just call Monday, I'd had all week to worry about it or prayed about it. Found in Revelation chapter 3, I think I'll begin reading at verse 15. This is the last church age. And, of course, that would include us now. And Stephen was over in Turkey just a few days ago and sent some pictures back on the phone and mentioned about he could tell where that hot spring that was their source of water supply that came down to the town. Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. You say, well, why would he want them cold? Well, he'd rather they were hot, but a possibility that if they were cold and they might recognize their need, but just in the middle, in a lukewarm stage, just drifting along, and likely not be woke up. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Help us in this Laodicean age to not be caught in this miserable, wretched condition as described here in this chapter. We pray that you touch, anoint your word, your servant, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord was saying here, I know thy works. And he does. He knows the direction we take. He knows what we say. He knows the attitudes we show. He knows all about us. And he knows our spiritual condition. And he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Well, there's a lot of religion that's loose in our day. A lot of people, one thing and another, and that was a new one that Brother Ziegler mentioned this morning about the statement of the Pope. I mean, I just can't hardly, it's hard to imagine and grasp. What would you say, such ignorance? Well, cold, he said, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. Cold is refreshing. Well, I tell you, that's on a cold, cold day. It might not be so good, but in a hot day and working, cold is refreshing. And hot is used for medical purposes, but they were neither cold, neither hot. Lukewarm. And that was referring to their half-heartedness. Well, the Lord was like liking them to their limited water supply. There was that hot springs, and on the picture that he showed, and maybe a mark up the way up there, but that hot springs would come, and then as the water would flow down in whatever piping that they had, it would cool off some and just be lukewarm by the time it got down to the city. And it seemed like if they ever wanted a cold drink of water even, they'd have to depend on some other source or do something. But God was displeased with their standing and with their half-heartedness. And as I mentioned earlier, the Laodicean age, that's us. And if we're not careful, we get caught into that. I don't want to be half-hearted. I don't want to be lukewarm. And I don't believe you do either. The Lord's coming pretty soon, surely, undoubtedly. We're living in the end time. Things are being fulfilled. And so we want to be ready. But the Lord said, you know, neither cold nor hot, I'll just spew you out of my mouth. I think it's indication that it makes God sick when he sees the condition of lukewarmness in the spiritual realm. Well, in verse 17, it tells us about their testimony. They said, I am rich and have need of nothing. Well, I guess in a sense, in the temporal, financial area, maybe that's not so bad. I don't guess I ever experienced too much of that, but I guess that would be pretty good. But to take that attitude, and the Lord again was applying it to this condition spiritually, say, well, I'm rich. I don't have anything. Everything's all right. And we're living in that day when individuals take that attitude. Nobody misses heaven. In the funerals, they preach everybody right on in. It's so discouraging and misleading to think that everybody, folk that are not prepared, folk that are drinking and reveling out in the world, and to think that there'll be beer in heaven, and old so-and-so, as one individual was describing, well, he'll find that place, you know, that saloon there in heaven, and such foolishness as we have in this day. Well, they said, we're rich, have need of nothing. There'd been an earthquake in there prior to this, in their area, in their community, and the government had offered, we'll come in and help rebuild and help restore the roads and the other damage that's made. They refused it. They said, we don't need your help. We can handle it. We've got finance enough to do it. Well, they said, we're rich, have need of nothing. They were a banking center, evidently had more than one bank to rely on, thriving banks, and so they were relying on that. But spiritually, they were bankrupt. Knowest thou not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? Now, the good part was, even though they were bankrupt, they were not hopeless. For the Lord said, I counsel of you, counsel of thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire. And so he would help them, and he would do something for them and give them that gold that was tried in the fire. Wesley said, in regard to this, talking about true living faith. And that, of course, would be in contrast to this half-heartedness, lifeless state that they were in. He said the Lord was offering true living faith, which is purified in the furnace of affliction that thou mayest be rich. And the Lord said, I'll fix you up with white raiment. Well, I like white raiment. It looks nice, and it's easy to become soiled if you're not careful. And if you live on gravel roads like we do, and you get everything out of the trunk and you slam the trunk down, you better be careful. Because all of the, that'll be coming back. Well, in their community, they raised black sheep. And so they had a textile mill, and they wove wool. They had woolen garments. They had black garments to wear. They had black carpet to walk on. But he said, I'll give you white raiment. And what a contrast that the Lord would do for us. We hear that song many times about, you know, we don't live at this place anymore, and I'm not the man that I used to be. And that's good, and that's the way that it is. Because the Lord changes things, changes the heart, changes the life, and makes such a difference. Used to be an evangelist, and he got killed down in Old Mexico years ago. Brother Jarrett, they had flew down to celebrate their 25th anniversary, and him and the pilot was going to go on a little and do something else, and the wing of the plane caught on something, wrecked, and Brother Jarrett was killed. But under his ministry back there in Pennsylvania was a fellow that God completely changed. I tell you, he just made a new creature out of him. In fact, it was kind of miraculous. I think his name was Joe. He was in the hospital and facing surgery. And while the doctor was gone, stepped out, Joe began to pray. And he'd had about 14 or 15 surgeries already. And that ought to be enough to satisfy about anybody. And he began to pray. And he said, Lord, I don't want to have to face surgery again. You can heal me and take care of it. Well, whenever the doctor came back in, began to probe, punch around me, you know, he said, "What, Joe, what's happened to you?" And I think he went out and got another doctor too, brought him in. But the Lord had, in an instant of time, had touched him and healed him. And I remember it's rather amusing whenever his boy was gone. And, well, the Lord had moved them up out of the area they were in, gave them a nice place to live. And his boy came home. And he went down to the door, and here was this hippie with long hair and everything. He hollered back into his wife. He said, "Why, honey," he said, it's Joe Jr. He said, "Bring the shears. bring the scissors." Well, white raiment, thank the Lord, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Well, in the Old Testament, you know, the watchman on the wall and the monotony and the long hours, there'd be a tendency, and maybe they'd been busy that day doing a lot of other things and hadn't got the rest they needed. And while they were watchmen, being the watchman on the wall, might drift off to sleep. And if they did, and the one that was in charge that would go around and check around on the wall and see if they were asleep, he'd catch them asleep, he'd just take the torch, put it, you know, to the hem of their garment. And then stand back and see what happened, I guess. Well, if he was sound asleep and his garment be burned and And the next morning, whenever he'd be on his way home, individuals would know what happened. It was shameful. He'd went to sleep on the job. Well, he said, have your eyes anointed with eye salve. And it was a medical center, and they were noted for their medication and for their eye salve. In fact, they had a medical school there. And the Lord said, I'd like to anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see spiritually. If there was ever a day when individuals can't see plainly, it beats anything I ever seen with this upcoming election. And I'll not get into politics and my backslid atheistic brother called the other day, and wife said something about if the right candidate didn't get in, we were gone. And he said, well, I wouldn't say that. Well, he needs some eye salve and probably some other salve too. The Lord said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I'm not sure Brother Ziegler didn't use that verse this morning. He said, the Lord said, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord is so loving, so kind, that he would reach forth and that he would knock. Oh, knock. I was reading, and maybe you did too recently, the Jewish lady, I can't think of her name, Irene Hanley, how that the individual called and called and called, but how the Lord was so faithful and knocked at her heart's door. Well, we can open the door of our heart. The Lord will come in and sup with us, and we can be overcomers. He said we could sit with him and would be able to sit with him in his throne as an overcomer. I want to be an overcomer, don't you? Well, the answer is, don't be lukewarm. Don't be dead and dry, but be on fire for the Lord. Be prayed up and ready to go whenever the Lord comes. Let's stand, please. Warren dismisses, please.